So, all right, there we go. God bless America. Maybe I'll get it right this time. Oh, goodness gracious. My name is Miss Parker, and I've been up way too many hours doing shit, and I'm way cranky tonight. So I'm just going to ask for forgiveness before I start. We're going to start out with a disclaimer: liability and the material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You're using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. But while I endeavor to keep this information as up to date and correct as possible, RV Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, express or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability within the respect to the website information, audio files, products, services, related graphics contained on the website for any purpose. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. So I've actually got three programs written, and I think I'm going to start the one and do the one that I had planned. And depending on how freaking cranky I am, is whether or not I'll do the last two. But I don't even like myself. I'm so cranky. I have some news. I had another friend of mine reach out to me and said that her guy that is a paymaster was called in as well. And this person was escorted with a military, what word did she use? God bless America. Oh, God bless America. Armed I can't guards. Remember that. What?
Armed guards.
Oh, God bless you, Jim. I'm just so cranky tonight, Jim. I can't even think right. Thank you. Armed guards. So that makes two of us that know two different people, two different parts of the world. And both of us have information that matches. Just a few seconds ago, while I was doing the music, played the music for 30 minutes to try to quit being cranky. Didn't do any good whatsoever. A few minutes ago, while I was playing the music, another friend of mine reached out to me, and let's see if I can read this. I got told I can read this. He works with someone in the bank, and I can't tell you what bank. I just got told I can't say that, but he was told liquidity should happen tomorrow or Friday, and he was going to get the confirmation a little bit later today. Every one of the people I'm talking to, and we all have different people that we know, each of these different people are confirming that, yeah, it's a go, it's a go, it's a go. So will it be a go this time? I don't know. My guy that was supposed to get his funds on the 4th, I talked to another person, and I want to see if the person that went and took all my information ran over to Wolverine and told him that that was your... Wolverine already knows what I'm telling. So you go over there and you go tell Wolverine that it's your whale. And he's going to laugh your ass off at you again. He already knows it's my asset. So I just not even pay attention to people that steal. Where was I? The last time on the 4th, the guy that I was talking about, I talked to another person, and they were saying that there was a group of 600 that were actually paid out. 650, I think the number was. And they were supposed to be a test group to make sure everything worked. And the innocent ones did not know that they were a part of a pretest kind of thing. And the guy in that group that we know, what happened is his passport was about to expire for the country he was in. So when that happens, you have to go out of that country for a day and then come back. So when he came back, he didn't have a COVID shot. So they wouldn't let him enter, and he was supposed to have his RV the next day. So can you imagine? Leave the country, come back. No, you can't step in the, we're going to put you in quarantine. He fucking freaked. He had one phone call. So did he call his wife? No. Did he call his lawyer? No. Did he call the RV? Fuck yeah. So he told him what happened, and they rescheduled. Well, we believe what happened to him is that when he rescheduled, that put him back into the rest of the tier 3 group. And he wasn't aware of it. So before he went to go update his visa, he was being told that he was going to get his funds like immediately. And then he was told that he expected to be able to get his funds on the 4th, and he still has not gotten his funds. And he can see his 1%, he can see it in the bank account, he can't access it, and he's literally sleeping on park benches, literally in another country. He can't get back to the U.S., he can't get his money. He's got, I mean, my friend, she's sending him money just so he can eat, but it's like, people knew that they had a millionaire sleeping on park benches, sleeping right beside him. The homeless, like, yeah, I'm a millionaire. Fuck you. No, you're not. I can just hear this conversation. Too funny. So, it's funny. So anyway, we've got, and then the 4th has come and gone. And so we didn't know why didn't he get it? And so what we've been able to ascertain by talking to other people is that when he redid this, the other thing that happened was, you guys have probably heard the stories of all of the money getting clawed back that was put out, got clawed back. That was because it was a bunch of black hats, and they infiltrated into the tier 3 group. And they got into this this test group. And there was a whole bunch of them. Almost the entire group was full of these fuckers. So they arrested them all. And they're still struggling. So I think that's why it took another week. But he still hasn't gotten his funds. And I asked my friend, can you reach out to him and see when he's supposed to get his funds? So the other person that I know that's in a different country, the other guy that I know, he still hasn't gotten his funds either. Same story. He can see it. And then another one of the people I know, he's a paymaster. He was told to fly in. So that was yesterday. So there's two ways to think about it. So their nighttime is our daytime. So I got the message. Well, you guys were in here when I got the message. So if we span it out, if it's a 1 day training, they have to go there, they have to come back, they need a day to relax. I'm thinking Thursday or Friday. And then I'm getting all kinds of dates, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So literally, folks, after tomorrow, just put your hats on and just be ready, because it can't be very much longer. This thing with Mar-a-Lago is I fully expect Trump to get arrested. And then when Trump gets arrested, that's when I think he's finally going to punch back and say, you can't arrest a sitting president, and then all hell's going to break loose. We'll see what happens as it goes. But in the meantime, I'd like you to be ready as you can. So the topic I'm going to start with is best practices. And it's not, best practices really isn't a good word for this. This is the stuff that you tuck under your hat and you pull out when you need it. The first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you're going in looking great. You know, your hair is brushed, your teeth is brushed, your shoes are clean. Clean shoes is really important. You know, even if you have nothing, you have just very poor clothes, just wash everything and make it look nice. If you have less than quality clothes, you know, you're living, just barely living. If you can get somebody to iron your clothes, whatever it takes to make you look as best as you can, even if you are wearing really poor clothes, because it's not about what you're wearing, it's about the effort that you make. Okay, so look your best. Don't chew bubble gum. Chewing bubble gum is really, really freaking annoying, and it makes you look less on point. Have your currency in a cupboard bag, gym bag, briefcase. You know, go get fast food. If it's just a small amount of bills, go get fast food. Throw all the way the fast food and put your currency in it. Do not walk into the building with your currency open and available for somebody to see as they're walking by. Have your binder clean, ready to go in. Have your three sample portfolios that you're going to do your presentation with. Have them tucked into the binder but not locked into the binder, so you can open up your binder and easily pull them out. Imagine that you're going into the interview for your life and you're going to ace the interview. You already know you're going to win. So walk in super confident. Walk in with your heads up, with your head up, smile on your face. You'd be surprised how many people, when they walk into an office to go to an interview, where they look cranky. And they're not actually cranky, they're uncomfortable. And they don't pay attention to their face. They don't think of their face and how and what they're portraying in the world. So think about all these things. Be aware of them before you go in. Don't sit huddled with your shoulders. Don't be intimidated by these people. These people are there for you. They're there for you to have your vision, to do your humanitarian project. There's some really I went through a lot of documents last night, because one of the things I do is I self-evaluate myself every year as a CEO. I write a set of goals that I have that I want to meet each quarter. And then at the end of the year, I take that little booklet. It's usually like 6-7 pages. And I do an eval, and I write an eval on myself. There's two reasons why I do it. First of all, my mentor told me to do it. And after I did it for a couple of years, then I realized that that little book was the best thing I had to make me a better CEO, to make me a better officer of a company. So there's a lot of, like, Desmond Tutu once said, don't raise your voice, improve your argument. I spent a lot of time reading books to become better at what I was, because when I made the shift from outlaw grower to business writing business documents for legal cannabis operations to writing full platform, fully horizontal, fully vertical company documents, I always was intimidated because I always felt like I shouldn't be there because I didn't go to college. I didn't do all this fancy shit. I'm just writing because I pay attention to people and I pay attention to what works and what sells, and using that information against or for my client so that they can get more money out of the investor. So there was a trick to it. So I kept reading a lot of educational books. I would force myself to spend 2 hours a week doing that. And so I have quotes all through my documents, my review documents. And so what I did is I pulled out a lot of these quotes because they actually had long-term, very long-term repercussions. That was one of the ones I wrote down. Don't raise your voice, improve your argument. A lot of times what happens, and it happens with me, and I know it happens with me, so I try to control it. Sometimes I do a good job of it. Sometimes I fail. People will raise their voice and try to either get more information or because they're afraid or because they're angry. Okay. And when you're pushing to get more, you're afraid or you're angry, you don't have any sense. You don't have any good sense. Good sense goes out the window. So don't raise your voice, improve your argument, or figure out a different way to get what you want to get done. I've had people that were sitting in the lobby to do interviews to come in that I was going to interview with. And they got raised their voice with my secretary. I just told my secretary, told them to release them. They weren't coming in. It's really important that you remember to control your frustration. Sometimes people, I'm expecting that you're going to be on information overload, and you're also going to be suffering from an adrenaline high when they tell you how much money you're going to get. So your frustration level may go up considerably. Be aware that this may happen. So keep track of your voice. Make sure your voice doesn't go wonky on you. Make sure your voice doesn't rise. Make sure your voice stays happy, positive, okay? Because you want to see the very best of you. You want them to see the very best of you. So don't raise your voice and improve your argument. Most of the time when I was new to doing business, when I was new to really helping my clients and stuff, I always felt there comes a time when you just feel like you fucking run out of options. You're talking to the client, you're talking to the client's customer, and you know you got to get the deal done, but you just don't know which way is the right way. Okay. Harvey Specter says, when someone points a gun at your face, you take the gun or you pull out a bigger one. You call their bluff. You can do any one of 146 other things, or you can do any one of 146 other things. The point of what he's saying is there's always options. It's up to you to hustle to figure out what they are, okay? So if you're sitting there and you're overwhelmed and you think I have no choices because they're saying I do this or I do that, there's always options, folks. Ask questions. Do 146 other things. Ask 146 other questions. A lot of times when people get overwhelmed, they don't see another doorway. And this happens usually. I'm bringing this piece of information up because what if you go in there and you are thinking, hey, I've got a piece of property I want to buy. And they say, oh, you don't get access to your money for 5 more days. Understand this. Don't take nothing at face value. Understand there's always a choice. It's up to you to figure out a different choice. They're saying, no, you can't have it. You say, I have to have money to buy this building. What's the other choice? In that scenario, you can ask, can I get a proof of funds? Can I get a proof of funds letter until then? Can I get a guarantee of funds letter? Can I get a clean and clear letter I can give to these people? If you do nothing, that's a choice. If you sit there and ask nothing, that's a choice. Only you can make your choices. So when you are in a position in a meeting where you think there's no choice, you have to rethink things quickly and see how you can swing the change, make a change. Understand that there's always options. There's a part of me that feels like maybe in this position, there's not an option at this one because we go in, we get the exchange, we go out. I'm just worried about or concerned about issues that you guys may have that may come up and that it's like, fuck, Parker didn't tell me about this one. So these are kind of blanket pieces of information for you to have. Because my goal is to get you as confident as possible before you go in there, okay? Mistakes are fine. Mistakes are totally, totally, totally fine. I've had clients go in to pitch to a customer and they make a single mistake in what they're saying and they just completely lose it. Because they think, oh, they're going to know it's a mistake. No, the only one that knows it's a mistake is you. They don't even know yet, okay? They usually can't catch it, okay? So there is nothing about this RV that says you have to be perfect, okay? They're expecting you to make mistakes. This is a learning curve for you. For them, they've done this 100 times, 200, 300 times. No big deal. It's like brushing your teeth, you know? Get the toothpaste out, put it on your toothbrush, brush your teeth, you're good. As opposed to giving it to somebody who's never seen a toothbrush. Like, the hell you mean you want me to put this in my mouth? What, you want me to put that sweet syrup on there? Fuck no. So it's mistakes are perfect. Okay. Mistakes are just fine. It's a learning curve, and they know that you're learning. They know you're not perfect with this. They expect you to make mistakes. And that's fine. Because if you're making mistakes, you're moving forward. If you're not making mistakes, you ain't doing shit. The person that has a perfect sailing record is the perfect that's never taken their ship out of the harbor. Okay? So chill out with yourself with the mistakes, okay? You're all right. Tim Fargo said, success is normally found in a pile of mistakes. I wrote that in my book too. I was like, that one's a great one. I have a lot of you that send me what I call grief messages. You're like, you're scared. You're sending me grief. Like, don't send me grief. Here's the thing, folks. A lot of this happens with the people that are looking at doing med beds or projects that a lot of people are doing, feeding the homeless or med beds or saving animals. You all have, almost all of those people send me these emails. I want to be unique. I want to be, you know, everybody else is doing the same thing. I'm going to get lost in the shuffle, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Truth of the matter is, anybody can do what we're about to do. Anybody can do it. You can go pick somebody off the street. Hey, you want to be a humanitarian, give away $1 million here? Sure, go ahead. Set them up, no big deal. Okay? Anybody can do it. Okay? If qualified, I mean, it would be, you know, they're even better. Okay? The thing you have to remember is your role in this RV is replaceable. You are not. You're the holder of the vision. You're the holder of your project. You are the holder of your own plan on how you're going to make your world, your life, your city, your nation, your country, your globe better. Yeah, we can put somebody else in your role, but we can't change you. God tapped on your heart. God tapped on you to say, hey, go buy currency. Hey, go do this. God made you wake up, okay? Your role is replaceable. Yeah, anybody can be a CEO. It's not hard. You can hire people to teach you. It's easy. But nobody can be you. Nobody. That was a hard, hard concept for me to own. It. When you realize that you are not replaceable, the next step after realizing that is to start believing in yourself and knowing your own worth. Bring your real self into that building and don't fucking change. Bring your real self into that building. Bring your real heart in there and don't fucking change because you think you're supposed to be a different way. You're supposed to be you. And you're supposed to be the holder of the vision that you have to change the world that you want to change. So don't let anybody take it away from you. And understand that you're not replaceable. You're here for a reason. When I've basically what I've been doing for you guys is mentoring you. I've been your mentor. And once this happens, once the RV happens and you begin your projects and begin your programs. Pick somebody to mentor. Not be their friend. Pick somebody to mentor. And that means having a meeting once a week. Mentor somebody in your company. It's okay if you're just as scared as he or she is. But pick somebody to help. I didn't think anybody would ever really listen to me. I didn't think that I'd have a group of 900 people. I just got tapped on my heart and got told I needed to do this to help people. The messages that I've gotten from you guys has boosted my self-confidence in ways I can't even begin to tell you. It's been amazing. Because when you're a mentor, it makes you a better person. I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate the messages I've gotten in private. I appreciate the things people have said in public. But become a mentor. because you have something important in you that you need to share with somebody else. And it doesn't even have to be a mentor in your job or your project. If you have a hobby, pick somebody that's struggling and help them in your hobby. But be a mentor. It will change you. I talked about this in the beginning. It's, I'm going to say this again. It's just, I know it's being redundant, but seriously, folks, appearance matters a lot. First impressions count. That's 7 seconds. That first 7 seconds, people decide all kinds of things about you. You can tell yourself, oh, you know, they're not going to be judgmental, this, that, the other thing. But everybody makes subtle judgments based on outward appearance. So just, you don't want to go in there wearing your expensive shit. You want to go in there looking professional. If you don't know what that look is, go look online. It doesn't, while they're always telling you, oh, buy new clothes, blah, 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 that's not really what it means. It means to be timeless. Professional can be a dress, but a dress that doesn't show your cleavage. It's demure. Professional for a guy, I mean, you can do Business Fridays where you're wearing a collared shirt, whether it's button up or pullover, and pants that are ironed. Even if you're wearing clothes that people can look at and go, oh, they don't got a lot of money. That's not what they're going to think if you clean your clothes and make everything sharp as possible, including wash your shoes. Make sure your shoes are clean. Even if they're old, even if they're beat up, make sure they're clean. Because not saying without words that you respect your project, your position, what you're going to do, and you respect and give as much, you give as much, you want them to know that this meeting is important to you, and I can't think of the word right now, I apologize. This should go without saying, but there's some of us that are coming from a little questionable background and some of us that have been in a great background, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Do not do anything unethical, okay? Don't lie to them. Don't make up shit. If you can't do something, you're not going to get away with it. It's somewhere down the line. If you say something in an interview or you're talking to somebody who's interviewing you for a job or to do this, don't lie. Don't do anything unethical. Because all the information that you're going to give to them, they're going to have that little bit of information going to the project manager team that you're going to have afterwards. And, you know, don't make claims you can't do. It's totally fine to tell them, hey, I don't know how to do this, and I'm going to hire help to give me a better education on how to do this. And that's going to be fine, okay? I'm worried about telling you this next one because I don't want you to go out and go crazy. In one of my other audio files, I tell people that you want to really, really, really catch someone and get them to, you know, go, oh shit, you know, this person really got it, but this person is really working on it. Have an image or a thing or something about your project or product that you can put in front of them at the very end. You have to be super careful with this because the wrong thing will backfire. It's called using an unexpected angle, okay? So if you are I'm trying to figure out a good example. Oh, menstruation products. One of the projects that somebody turned in is they're going to go to countries that do not have menstruation products for girls. And I think it's in Africa someplace. And they're going to give away menstruation products, reusable menstruation products. And I said, can you make one? And she goes, yeah, they're sewn on a sewing machine. I said, at the very end of your presentation, just put samples out. Just give them samples. And she's like, are you kidding me? I go, no. It shows that you want to do your project so bad or so much that you've already got samples. It's a little unexpected angle. Nobody does that shit. I'm taking my pot and I'm going to put a cup of water. I'm going to put a water bottle in it. And some point in the chat, I'm going to, the project pitch, I'm going to grab my pot out and I'm going to push the bottom up and I'm going to grab the water bottle and I'm going to say, oh, by the way, this is my pot. Those little unexpected angles, if you have a way to do them, that always impresses people. If it's right, there's, depending on your stuff, sometimes you can't do it. If you're going to do a grow project and you want to get heritage seeds into the ground, have a little baggie with GMO seed and heritage seed. So you can put them on. And this is what I'm talking about. This is GMO seed. This is heritage seed. And if you don't know, there is a difference. There's a major difference from non-GMO and GMO seed. Major difference. And those little creative angles, it's just another thing that says without words, this person really freaking wants to do this project and is going, you know, above and beyond. It's a thing, if you can do a photograph of it, where the photograph is a point, not just, I want to start a clinic and you hand a photograph of some random clinic out. That's not the same. This is an item or a thing that would strengthen your particular project point. If you don't have something like that, that's okay. But for those of you that have the ability to do something like that for your project, by all means, do it. It's, you do it at the very end. The very end, you put on the table either a photo or whatever it is you're going to do. I have one guy that is, he's want to do a project to save the bees and take bees and get bees all over the world. And so, and the problem is bees are dying at a rapid rate from infection. So I said, go get a photograph off the net of the hives, hive rot, because unless people see what happens to beehives when they rot out, they would never believe it. So at the very end, this is the reason why we do this. And you put the two pictures of the hive rot on the table, put it, make them at 8x10. And they're shocking. It'll make people go, oh shit, I didn't even know this was a problem with bees. And that also, if they have any kind of wiggle room to raise your rates or something, you've made a personal contact with, or you pulled their heartstrings. It's like, you know, without bees, we'll fucking starve to death. And this is what's going on with the bee community. I want to raise new queens that are healthier. This is what it is. Boom, boom, boom. So if you can use an unexpected angle, that will often help you when you get to the point of asking for the rate, okay? It's just another nail in the coffin that shows this person can do this. This person is thinking outside the box. This person has taken the extra time, the extra steps to figure out a new wrinkle, okay? That will, you know, they're sitting there listening to people, blah, 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 blah. Nobody's doing nothing that catches their attention or pulls them out of the boredom of listening to people. When you listen to people pitch projects all day long, it, after a while, it goes like this, like the, Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. That's what it sounds like. So if you have somebody that drops something that is impressive in front of you, it's like, whoa, wake up. This person's alive. And it has helped my clients with getting higher money. And I believe that we are talking to humans and the human touch is important. So any angle I can give you that will help you get a higher rate, that's what I'm talking. So if you can use an obvious angle, great. Or unexpected angle, great. If it doesn't work for your program, that's okay. This is just information in case. Sample product and physical. Yes, absolutely, Brian. That's very, very, very true. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just, my words are fucked up because I'm cranky. Jeez, that beats. Okay. Have you ever felt like you're backed in a corner, backed against the wall, and you feel like you just can't get around a problem? I'm gonna tell you right now, whatever wall you get to, break the goddamn wall down, okay? Whatever your problem is, don't let nothing stop you. Nothing. Think about your project. Think about everything that could possibly go right and go wrong with your project before you go in there. They may throw up some kind of scenario. Well, if you were doing this with your project, how would you handle that? Okay. Now you're backed against the wall because you've never done this before. So they're asking you a question way out of your ballywick, okay? Don't tell them I don't know. Break down the wall. Think on your feet. Come up with a solution. Even if it's the wrong solution, it doesn't matter if it's the wrong solution. If they come up with reasons or things that, you know, hey, you might not be able to do this, or what about that, or what about that? Don't let anything stand in your way. Open your mouth. Be smart, be creative if you have a problem that stands in front of you. No matter what happens in this RV, if you get to a point in any part of the meeting that you feel like your decisions are not what you wanted them to be, don't back down. Don't say, I don't know. Come up with an answer. And think about it before you do this. Read your project multiple times. Feel like you rock it. Feel like you know it from the inside, okay? And stand fast in your confidence that your project is a good project. And if they come up with, you know, negative questions or things that you perceive to be negative, don't back down. Don't back down at all. Tell them what you feel. You are the person that is the visionary of your project. Don't back down. If they don't understand your project and somebody flippantly says, well, I don't know if this is going to be good enough, then you say, well, yeah, it will be because X, Y, Z. So don't back down. It's one of the pieces of advice one of these. How do I do this? In your second meeting, they're probably going to poke you. They're probably going to say, imagine this. What did you think what this was? You know, they're going to ask you a ton of questions in your second meeting because they're trying to figure out what you need them to do, what you want them to do. Okay. So I encourage you before your second meeting to go do your homework and find out as much research as you can about your project. Get as much information that you want to give to them as you can. Don't go in there unprepared. If you've got a project and a plan or something that you want to get done, go on to Zillow and find a building that you think will work and print that information out. It doesn't have to be in your neighborhood. It's just a starting point of what you think it's going to be. If you have an idea for a project, get pictures, write notes, whatever your project is, gather as much information as you can before you go into your management team meeting, because a successful meeting doesn't always mean having what the other person wants you to have. Sometimes the best meetings, when you're talking with these kind of people, is to show them that you understand what they're looking for and you're showing them that you have solutions. They're going to have concerns about, hey, has this person even thought about how to hire people or this or that? So after the first meeting and you have an idea of your budget, your money, your funds, whatever it is, start working on your project. Don't back down, because after that first meeting is when you're going to need to get as much information as you can that you think is important to you for your project to give to your project team. Because if you can't convince them that your original idea is good, then provide something better. Provide more information when you go to the second meeting. Whatever it is that you need or want, okay? If they don't have an idea what you need or you want, then they can't help you. Once they know what you expect, they're going to be able to offer you so much more because their skills are way better than yours are going to be. Because they're going to be talking, this is a transition team that you're going to have. So a transition team is going to be talking to a lot of you guys, a lot of the entrepreneurs, okay? But sometimes when you're dealing with a group of people that are training a bunch of people that have the same issue, if you show your trainers that you're willing to meet their needs, that's sometimes enough to have you win them over so they go above and beyond what you actually need. So go in there with as much information as you can provide about your documents, about your plans, about your future, because just the fact that you're willing to do that and try to meet their needs of what they need to know about you is literally often enough to win either win the second people over enough that they will go above and beyond to help you. These little things are differences from people that know what the fuck they're doing and people that walk in going, yeah, I'm here. What do you got for me? Don't do that. That's what everybody's going to be doing. Everybody's going to be, you know, you go and listen to all these different other people giving information about their projects and they're there for you. They're there for you. Yeah, they're there for you. Okay. That's true. I heard this thing in Seeds of Wisdom and I was like, you fucking idiots. They are there for you, but you have to be there for them. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody's telling any of their people that. You have to be there for them. You have to show them that you know that they're going to need all this stuff from you. If you walk in on point with all your with as much stuff as you can get. Now, if you can't figure it out, that's a whole different subject. Just do as much as you can figure out. because you're going to be amazed at all the shit they're going to need from you. So if you just take any kind of little steps before you're, or if you've got the chops, do the big steps before you go into that second meeting. It's going to literally win them over for you and get them to help you a lot more, I believe. At least that's, this is just advice from traditional business folks. I don't know what the RV is going to be like. I'm just treating it as if it is another business pitch. So that's what I think is going to happen. You know, you hear people say, just go out there and act like you know what you're doing. Fake it till you make it. The truth of the matter is, faking it till you make it works in a lot of areas. But what that really means is have zealous confidence and a cool approach. If you have serious confidence in yourself and your project and your approach is cool and laid back, people don't think you're winging it. They think that, yeah, they've got it. They've got the plan. Whether or not you actually have the whole thing out, just be super cool. Be super relaxed in there. It's going to be hard if you get if the adrenaline gets away from you. But head up, shoulders back. Wear your confidence. Wear your confidence. Okay. And just have a cool approach. It is what it is. Be gracious, be kind, and be done. Get it in, get it done. I used to tell my clients, have fun and enjoy the ride. This is going to be a bunch of firsts for you, okay? And it can be super, super overwhelming. And you're thinking about, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I do this? Give yourself some time to enjoy the ride right now. It's really stressful right now. It's been stressful for a minute because we're like, what the fuck? When is this going to happen? I'm tired of all this, you know? But even now, when you're stressed like hell, like right now, like yesterday, I made myself some iced tea, sat out on the front porch, and I was like, man, I can't believe how far I've come since I started this. I can't believe how close we are. Wow, it's going to be amazing. What a ride. And just think about all the good things that's happened to you since this happened. And you're like, fuck, Parker, there's been no good things. There are. You just have to find them. And then, you know, don't bemoan the failures. Don't think about the defeats that have happened. Let the chips fall the way they may. This is time of separating the wheat from the chaff. Okay? And you have to have, we're going through some tough stuff, okay? But think about good things as well, so you have a balance. And it makes the process a lot more manageable. You can let stress carry you away, or you can literally stop yourself, force yourself to sit back and enjoy the ride. Step out of your concerns and take some time to pat yourself on the back like, damn, I didn't know I could get here. I'm here. This is good. Enjoy the ride. I also encourage everybody right now, and I know this sounds silly, silly, silly. Take your camera. Walk around your whole house. Walk around your house. Take pictures of your house, your current house. Take pictures of the outside of your house. Take pictures of the inside of your house. Take pictures of the things that matter the most to you, your physical items, your physical things, whatever those are. Take pictures of everything. Document yourself right now. Because those pictures, when you look back, and then hold those pictures, put them in a little bit, like actually print them out and put them in a little booklet and close that booklet and put tape on it and write open on 8/10/2022 and do it, really do it. Because when you do that in a year, you'll open this book up and you will have forgotten so much of where you are right now. You will have forgotten how stressed as fuck you are right now. You will remember some about how excited, but all of the difficult stuff will be gone from your memory in a year because you'll have so many good things happen. So if you open that book up in a year, your level of confidence is gonna skyrocket because you're gonna see what a rough place you were in and where you built your life today. And when you become a millionaire and you have the help that you're gonna get, it's gonna be amazing. And that boost of confidence, you're seriously gonna need in a year, especially those of you that are gonna be doing multiple projects. Because in a year, you're gonna be thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do it. This was hard, this one's hard. And you open up that book and you go, oh, hell yeah, I can do everything. It's a confidence boost. It's a serious confidence boost. You know, you've seen people that unashamedly love themselves. They love themselves so much, they're numero uno at everything in business, okay? And it doesn't, when I say love yourself, it doesn't mean that you're gonna be selfish, okay? It doesn't mean selfish love, okay? What it means is you have the right faith and you have the right confidence in yourself that you can overcome any obstacle. There's nothing that can take that hunger away from you to do what you want with this project. And you know, that hunger in you might just be the thing that solves world hunger. It might just be the thing that cures cancer or whatever it is. But you gotta love yourself. You gotta love yourself. And I'm not talking about selfish love. Faith, confidence, love yourself. You have a hunger from inside to do what you're about to do, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You have a hunger inside to make massive change. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this cranky redhead. So seriously, love yourself. I know that a lot of people have worked for companies where this sounds really rude what I'm gonna say, but it's not rude at all, and I'm trying to figure out a way to say it so that it doesn't sound as rude in my head as I want to say it. you're going to have business meetings after business meetings after business meetings, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, screw them fucking business meetings. Go find the right person, okay? I don't have any airs about or I don't have any regard, I should, but I don't, for people's personal time and space and business. If I have somebody I'm working with, if I have your wealth manager, you need to talk to your wealth manager, this or that or thing. Don't send an email. Don't schedule shit. Get to the point. Pick up the phone and call them. Once you do the RV and this is on your second meetings and stuff like that, going straight to the cat's mouth, going straight to the horse's mouth, you get much more candid, much more robust discussions that get to the point rather than having endless group meetings with all these different people and they always want to follow up, fuck the follow up shit. Get to the point. Because otherwise, they're going to have you in all these other kinds of meetings, okay? So, I just ambush them. When I have people that are doing this kind of work for me, where they're setting up a project and stuff like that, I don't wait for group meetings. I don't wait for all the fucking millions of emails that they're going to send you. I don't, screw that. You have a group meeting, and then it's like 3 weeks of endless emails to follow up. Don't follow up shit. Pick up the phone, call them. If you have a transition team that has the mentality of emails, group meetings, this and that, the first thing you're going to ask them is, do you have an open door policy? Because I don't want to do endless group meetings and then endless follow up emails. I need answers today. So is your policy to have an open door policy? When this happens, I've said this multiple different times, everybody that starts a new business in that first 2 to 3 months, sometimes 6 months, you are pulled every direction for meetings. So if you can cut that crap out, it saves you a lot of time to get a lot more stuff done, and then you have more time with your family. Okay? So screw the meetings. Get the person on the phone that you need to talk to. And oftentimes those conversations end up being way more informative. It's not, I got to ask one time, how come you just barge right in? I have other appointments. I go, yeah, but half the time your appointments don't show up. So I'm just calling you to make sure if you have time. I just walk in and get the point made. I don't wait. Is it right? It's wrong. I don't know. It's worked for me. It's probably completely wrong. I don't care. It's worked very, very well. I know that when companies start that you're going to have interviews with different wealth management companies and during your transition team. So make sure that when you get that first transition team, make sure they have an open door policy that you are able to, do I have to have a meeting or can I just call the person direct? If they say you can call the person direct, that's the company you want to work with. Loyalty is everything. Everything. Betrayal to one is a betrayal to both. Together you win, united you fall. Loyalty. This doesn't mean you have a blood brother pact with your colleagues or your business partner. But loyalty is truly the key to success. If you're talking to a wealth management company and you get going with them and you're with this wealth management company for 6 months or whatever, and another company comes in and says, hey, we'll do you a better job, don't jump ship. Be loyal to the ones that you started with. It pays off in the long term, not in the short term. Being loyal to the companies that you work with will end up with them bringing you cool stuff, information inside, you know, information about products or services you may not be aware of. So be loyal. If you are going to do your RV with a partner, have a serious heart to heart with that partner before you go into the RV. Talk about everything that you think is good and everything that you think is bad and where problems may lie. You're going to have to figure out which one of you, out of the two of you, if you're going in as a group, is the speaker of the group. And the one that is chosen to be the speaker of the group, the other person has to be loyal to. You have to, if you're the one that's going to be silent, you have to be silent. You have to let that other person, if you're given that person, the two of you are going to go in and do a project, then let that person that you've decided actually do the project. Don't interrupt. Don't get everybody off track. Don't ask any questions. If you've got questions to ask, the way to be loyal is to ask your partner, hey, what do you think about this? And it may be that you're setting that question up. So you're telling your partner, hey, I don't know about this. And then your partner says to the team, you know, what about this, that? Because he knows immediately, or she knows immediately, that, hey, he doesn't know that information either. As I've gone through both sides, I've gone through interviewing people that I'm gonna fund, or I'm working with a client and that client is gonna fund. And I've also worked with clients where they are gonna get funded. So I've seen both sides, okay? I've been on both sides, been in the interview where we're gonna give money away, and been in the interview where we're looking for money. And both sides of the same coin, it is way more, I'm far more likely to give a group of two people access to more funds if I can see they're loyal to each other, because that means that they are a united front and they're not going to tear themselves apart when they get into the deep, when their project is in the middle of it. So if you're going to do things as a couple, either a business couple, I'm not saying like related couple or a relationship couple, I mean as a team, decide where your loyalties lay and then act upon those loyalties. It may be that you go in there and you realize, fuck, I can't sit still, I can't keep my mouth shut. When you get out of the RV, that's when you decide, hey, look, I thought that this would be a good thing, that we should be partners, but I'm actually really thinking that we should, we should go do a trust and then have a trust and both of us work in the trust, but completely separate businesses, because I don't think I want to do it like this. Don't sit back and wait. Don't let everything get set up and you have an uncomfortable feelings. Don't let everything get set up and then wait till the whole fucking shit's set up and then say, oh, hey, by the way, I don't feel good about this, because it's wasted massive amount of time. And on top of that, it will cause your partner to not trust you. So speak your loyalty. If you are going to be loyal, be loyal. If you get in the middle of it and you realize, hey, I can't do this because I just realized this person's an idiot that I thought I was going to trust. You know, they went in there and I felt uncomfortable. They asked stupid questions. I can't go forward on this step. When you walk out of that first meeting, you're going to know if you're the person being the silent one and being the loyal one, you're going to know if you're going to maintain that loyalty right then. And if you can't do it, walk out right then. You know, not physically walk out, but I mean, say something to the other person. Say, hey, you know, I thought I could do this, but I need to do it a different way. And that's part of the reason why I talked earlier about being self-confident, is have the self-confidence to make changes. If you think it's not going to work, don't have a wait and see. Don't sit on your feet. I mean, don't sit on your butt, stand on your feet. I knew I could fuck that up. I wanted to say that one right, and I just knew it was going to come. Anyway, this is just business tips. I'm hoping that this information helps you in your RV, in your interview. I want you to be as confident as you can possibly be. So I hope this helps. Does anybody have questions about this topic?
I do.
Go ahead, Christy. What's your questions?
In relation to loyalty, when we have believed in someone to share this information with, but they are not putting the same effort as some of us to dig a little deeper, where does my loyalty lie to supply them with the endless hours of phone calls or video chats that I've listened to you over and over and over again, filling an entire notebook, when I go to the RV and then I'm gone and they're trying to find me? I'm sorry, I can't help you.
So you've got a partner who is right now already having you do all the work and they're doing nothing?
No, ma'am. I'm on my own. I've been a widow for a while. I don't need anybody's help. But I have people who I have gifted currency to that requires a project, or pick one of the 15. And
okay,
they're not writing a project. They're not learning. They're not doing anything. Where does my loyalty lie?
Well, your loyalty lies to yourself. Okay. It lies to yourself. Okay. When I'm talking about loyalty, I'm talking about in the instance of two people working on the same project. What you've done is a wonderful thing. You've gifted your friends. What you're seeing is how they value that gift. They don't value it. They either don't understand how important it is, or they think you're nuts and it's not important at all. Because they don't value it, they don't act on it. I put up a document earlier that was the biggest gift to humanitarians. I can't remember the exact name of it here. Hold on, let me find it. What you can try is you can send them or give them, let me see if I can find this document. You can give them this document. There you go. Give them this document and see what they do. Okay. If they come back to you and they start asking for help and they want to move forward, beautiful, help them. It may be a case of they've heard it from you, but sometimes people need more than one piece of information or get it from another piece of information. So you can give them this document and say, look, I've given you a gift that will change your life. You can choose to use the gift and change your life and I'll help you. Or you can just, you know, ride with the waves and it'll work out how it works out. It doesn't change the fact that you thought enough of these person to give them a gift. Okay. And what will usually happen in this thing is they'll go, yeah, I'll be good. I'll be good. I'll do it when we get there. I'll be good. I'll be good. They get there and they're knee deep in motherfucking alligators and there's nothing they can do about it because they've had the opportunity. You've made the opportunity to help them and they chose not to. When they get done with their RV, chances are they're not going to have either the same rates, which neither one of you should be talking about, or the same opportunities, which you can talk about. That's not someone you want to continue to work with. they can do it on their own. They come to you and they say, hey, you know, I need this and that, the other thing. I'm working on my project. Talk to your management team. The gift is just part of it. If they don't walk on the gift or they don't take the gift and use it, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a case of loyalty. That's either a case of not understanding how important what they're doing is, or just, I don't give a fuck. I got more important things to do, and I don't know when this is going to happen, and I got major things going on in my life. I can't handle it. You don't know what it is. If they're not working on it, they don't value it. It may not be a case of not valuing you, but it may be a case of not understanding the value of what you've given them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So just give them another shot. Give them one more shot. Say, hey, look, I want you to look at this. I've been telling you about this, and I know you're too busy or this or that. And you know what? I got a filthy mouth, I swear. I laugh. I don't get to the point. And it may be they listen to me and they go, a fucking bitch, I can't stand listening to that goddamn redhead. She's just crazy. And maybe they can't stand my voice. You know, there's a lot of reasons why they may not want to listen. You can't just assume it's because they don't care. It could be a lot of things. So the first thing you can do is take away their not knowing. Take away their excuse of, I don't know. Give them that document. They can choose to read the document and act upon it. They can choose to read the document and go, fuck, I don't care about this shit. Or they can choose to not read the document at all. It doesn't matter. What matters is you get to see how they react. And you get to make decisions and choices on how you're going to treat them. Because you're not in a partnership with them. You just gifted them money, right? They're not in your project, correct?
Right. No, I.
Perfect.
I'm a one-man show.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, maybe one of these days you might be too. You never know. You got a Marine. I know he's going to help you. I'm pretty sure. So just know that it may be a case of them just not getting it. Give them a chance. Give them a document that explains, gives them access to all the information they need. If they choose not to act on it, then you know which way their bread is buttered. If they act on it after you give them this information, then figure out ways to boost them or help them with their stuff. That's fine. But if you give them a gift and they don't appreciate the gift, it doesn't mean you keep giving them gifts. I hope that helps.
Yes, ma'am.
Does anybody else have any questions, comments, concerns? Well, sounds like we got it done. Folks, I'm going to end this video recording. And I'm not as cranky as I was when I started this. So I'm going to do my second program. I'm going to end this recording. I'm going to do my second program, and I'm going to play probably two pieces of reggae music, and then I'll start my second program. So unless anybody has any questions or anything of that nature, I'm going to end this.
Are you recording the next one?
I record every single one of these when I'm doing a program, yes. When I'm doing an open chat, I don't record it. I just have it open so people can talk freely.
Okay, thanks. I got to go help somebody real quick.
No problem. Phew. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing the amazing humanitarians together so we can change the world. We're going to do it one step at a time. We're going to do it with your heavenly help. Thank you, Lord. Amen.